From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. For two decades, a music teacher from a small town in southern Italy has been hunting for and resurrecting the music of the dead. Francesco Lotoro has found thousands of songs, symphonies, and operas written by prisoners in the Nazis' many POW labor and concentration camps. His mission, as NPR Silvio Poggioli reports, is twofold: to fill the hole that the Holocaust created in Europe's musical history, and to show how art can thrive even in the worst conditions.
Francesco Lotoro lives in a modest ground-floor apartment on the outskirts of the small Adriatic town of Barletta. The self-effacing music teacher has embarked on a solitary quest. Since his first visit to a concentration camp in 1991, he has traveled from his native Italy to more than a dozen countries, searching through old bookshops and archives and interviewing Holocaust survivors. He has collected 4,000 pieces, original scores and copies of compositions, some scribbled on scraps of paper and even newsprint. His home is filled with bookshelves and musical scores are piled high. Lotoro believes that whenever a human being is deported and imprisoned, music is born.
I think it's almost an automatic response to a situation of detention. They wanted to leave a testament. They leave to us music.
Lotoro moves over to his piano and plays an excerpt from Nonet, a composition for nine instruments the Czech composer Rudolf Carrel wrote in Prague's Pankrac prison.
There is like a telegraph. No, at a certain moment, I imagine that this is a Morse codex.
As an anti-Nazi political prisoner, Karol was not allowed access to notepaper, but he was able to use toilet paper for his compositions. He died at the Terezin concentration camp in Czechoslovakia in 1945. Decades later, Lotoro was able to track down pieces of the original score and has reconstructed it for the first time since Karol conceived it. Some compositions were smuggled out and preserved by survivors. Others were simply found after the camps were liberated. Lotoro's mission to find the lost music of the Holocaust was one reason he converted to Judaism in 2004. He later learned his great-grandfather was Jewish. Lotoro has arranged and recorded 400 works. A selection was released last year in a box set of 24 CDs called Encyclopedia of Concentration Camp Music. The compositions he has resurrected were written in conditions of intense suffering. In this work by Victor Ullmann, Lotoro senses the composer's anguish at not having enough time to complete his work.
Victor Ullmann. Also, here we have a sense of urgency.
Ullmann studied with Arnold Schoenberg and has long been recognized as a prominent composer. Confinement in the Terezin camp made him prolific. In captivity, he composed more than 20 operas. Lotoro quotes from an essay left by Ullmann before he was moved to Auschwitz, where he died in the gas chambers in 1944.
By no means did we sit weeping on the banks of the waters of Babylon. And our endeavor with respect to arts was commensurate with our will to live.
The Third Reich banned the performance of all Jewish music, from Mendelssohn to cabaret. But at the camps, with the notable exception of the extermination camps, musicians were allowed a degree of artistic freedom. The Terezin camp was unique. It was ghetto, concentration, and transit camp all in one that the Nazis used as a cultural showcase to deceive the Red Cross and for propaganda purposes. Terezin, Lotoro says, became a crossroads of contemporary music before its inmates were transferred to the gas chambers. The same day Victor Ullmann was killed, a dozen other prominent musicians were also gassed.
In a few hours, in Auschwitz, and entire generation of musicians, composers, famous piano virtuosos, the fifth column of the Jewish musical elite of Central and Eastern Europe disappeared.
The compositions rescued by Lotoro cover the entire musical range, classical, folk, swing, and some disconcertingly lively tunes. This cabaret song was written in a camp in Riga by a 19-year-old Lithuanian Jew, Lyova Berneker. Its carefree tone belies lyrics describing the miserable treatment of Jews in the camp. Berneker died of exhaustion at the Stutthof camp in Poland in April 1945. Brett Werb, curator of music at the U.S. Holocaust Museum, says it's not surprising prisoners could write upbeat tunes.
For them, time had pretty much stopped at the time of the incarceration, and music became a great escape hatch for them. But there are really hundreds, if not thousands, of topical songs, original songs, in the style of light music, cabaret music, and so this is what these young people had in their heads.
Not all the music composed in captivity was the result of free expression. The Nazis often corralled musician inmates into orchestras at camps like Auschwitz and ordered them to perform while other prisoners were marched out for forced labor. Or they forced inmates to write compositions.
Wie lustig ist unser Leben feiert.
At the Sobibor camp in Poland, when a cobbler named Saul Fleischhacker of Lublin refused to beat other prisoners, he was beaten and ordered by the Nazi commandant to compose a song praising the camp's living conditions. According to Yiddish scholars, the word Feijad in this song could be a disguised expletive to hide its meaning from the German guards. In many cases, compositions were never written down, but the melodies and lyrics were passed on from prisoner to prisoner. In Israel, Lotoro tracked down the words of a tune that had been sung by women prisoners. Esther Raphael, a Jew from the Greek island of Corfu, remembered by heart the lyrics written by her fellow Auschwitz inmate, Frida Mizul. Writing here in Italian, the singer Frida Mizul pens scathing new lyrics to the tune of what was then a popular polka. And the women prisoners in Block 31 defied the Nazi ban and sang that one day they would take their vengeance on the brutal guards at Auschwitz. Here in the town of Barletta, after 2 decades hunting for the lost music of the Holocaust, Francesco Lotoro is now deeply in debt. But he's determined to carry on what he sees as his life's mission, to right a historical wrong and help rewrite the history of 20th century European music. He also wants to demonstrate that the creative mind cannot be imprisoned, even in conditions of brutality.
The artist is able to separate the external situation from the creativity that belongs to the mind, to the heart.
Silvia Poggioli, NPR News.